It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
Hour number six gets underway of our special Super Friday Spectacular on ESPN 106.3 as we stream live worldwide on the ESPN app and also on all smart speakers by saying play ESPN West Palm. If you're a home team listener, you know this is generally the cocktail hour, but we've gone from noon and we'll go till 6 with special guests and special coverage for Super Bowl 58, which we will carry live on ESPN 106.3 this Sunday. What time is pregame coverage for us?
It is sometime between noon and 6:30.
Fair enough. We're hoping to connect with Michael Lombardi here shortly. Michael Lombardi with 3 Super Bowl rings and also a noted sports betting podcast host and insider who also you see each week on the Pat McAfee Show. Hoping to connect with Michael Lombardi at some point. We thought we're going to get Kevin Harlan on with us today, who might be calling the game. Is he not on Sunday for Westwood One Radio?
Not entirely sure, but I thought we were going to get him. We're at the 5-yard line and getting Kevin Harlan.
So we may or may not. We're not sure. We're not sure on that, where that situates. But that's C-Cat, and you already know I'm Brother Love. I'm the guy losing his voice, doing the best that he can, all things considered. The good news is, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., I'll be in the dentist chair for CT scans and x-rays and likely root canals, multiple, because, I've got some significant dental issues, and the pain comes and goes to a degree it's excruciating. So far, not so bad. Knock on wood.
I was going to ask you, so you read my mind. I was going to ask, how you doing with your toothache?
It's more than a toothache, buddy. I wish I had a toothache. Points last night, excruciating.
Yeah.
Points this morning, that woke me up from a dead sleep at 5 a.m., excruciating. Right now, I'm managing. I'm going to say that and jinx myself. Coming up, though, Joe Montana. You heard what I said. Joe Montana on when he used to utilize the stadium sideline phone during games for things that weren't necessarily football related. Wasn't calling up to the offensive coordinator. I'll put it to you like that. We'll get to that coming up here shortly. And we'll see which guests can, in fact, join us. But our thanks thus far to those who have taken time to join us. In case you missed us, don't worry. You can catch it all by replaying it on our ESPN West Palm Play stream. Evan Cohen joined us earlier today. Super Bowl champion and national champion with the University of Miami, Brian McKinney, was with us. Super Bowl champion Chris Canty was part of the show with us. Amber Wilson from ESPN Radio nationally. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio nationally, also joined us. DeJuan Morgan just left studio with us, the former Suncoast star and the 3rd-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs, who wrote a book, which is a remarkable concept, Dear Athlete, letting young people know about the good and wise decisions and choices that need to be made on and off the field, which is tremendous. But regardless, as we approach the 6 o'clock hour, we get into 5:40, we will go live back out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and to the city of Sin, because this weekend a whole lot of sin is going to go on, in particular betting this game every which way you can, as they say. Brent Faulks, who follows the sports betting world, he will give us insight into the biggest wagers, what and who they're on, the most popular plays, and some of those crazy irregularities that we see in crazy parlays that we talk about, about 4:50 every weekday on this, our normal show.
Yeah, our office, much like the rest of America, has that kind of Super Bowl prop betting pool.
A lot of people do. Yeah. A lot of people have a party prop sheet, and then people do squares. We have a list from covers of the Super Bowl party prop betting sheet, and this is 20 props that they allow people at parties or offices to all circle this or that, over, under, yes, no, heads, tails, etc. We're going to run this down. You and I are going to go head-to-head. We're in on the office pool as well. But let's go ahead and play the game, shall we? It is Super Bowl 58, or as we're calling it, that professional men's tackle football game this weekend. And we're going to have a little bit of prop head-to-head showdown, courtesy of Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock Bet, not legal in Florida.
I won last year's in this office, so I'm hot.
I didn't play last year.
I still beat you.
No, if I'm not in it, then you couldn't have beat me.
If I'm in the Super Bowl and you're not, I feel like I beat you and I won the Super Bowl.
Right, but I didn't play, so you didn't beat me. You won, but I didn't lose. Do you understand the difference?
I have infinite more claim to the throne than you.
I don't understand how that works. Run that by me.
I have...
I win March Madness again? Didn't I win the March Madness bracket again for a second time in 3 years?
I'm not privy to that.
Right. Let's get at these props. See, Kat, you read them, and I'll give you my methodology and tell you which way I picked, and we'll hear your pick as well. Go ahead.
Hey, we talked with Chris Carlin earlier on in the day about this one, about maybe he had some inside scoop on a Super Bowl in the past. Length of the national anthem, over under 90 and a half seconds.
Reba McEntire, there's film on her. You can go back and see her sing at a rodeo in 1972. And then again in 1977, you go on YouTube and see all this. None of those are an indication of this plan, this arrangement, this orchestration. You really need to know the arrangement to know whether or not she will. I would imagine she would make it a little bit soulful, a little bit heartfelt, not crazy runs on notes. You know, that when you run a note, 90 and a half seconds is not a long time for an anthem, but it might be for Reba. I went under in this spot. I don't imagine her trying to flex with the ability to hold notes for 18, 20 seconds plus.
See, I don't think she's going to flex notes either at this stage of her career, but I think she's going to breathe in the moment and take pauses between lines in order to get past that 90 and a half number.
Listen, the arrangement is the arrangement. This may be recorded already, as a matter of fact. A lot of times the anthem's recorded in advance, even the famous Whitney Houston anthem during the Gulf War. People love that version, was recorded. She was lip-syncing to that, recorded live to play. So the arrangement's the arrangement. And whatever the pace is, the BPM that the band is playing this at, she'll keep with. The only difference would be holding the last note. That's the only differential. The second prop on the sheet, CK.
A tale as old as time, or tails as old as time. Heads or tails in the coin toss.
Dumb bet. If you're betting this, maybe you should see a therapist. Tails never fails, as they say.
Going heads.
I'm going tails just for the sake of who cares. Prop number three.
The first offensive play will be a run or a pass attempt.
So here's the thing about these props. On the sheet, it doesn't give you a money line minus this. So they're treating this like it is an even money proposition. They're treating it like both are a 50-50 shot, which is not the case. What's your vote? What are you playing?
I am playing pass attempt. I think the Niners win the toss, and I think they're going to want to take the top off the defense early with a Brock Purdy bomb.
If memory serves me correct, at Hard Rock Bet, which is now the legal sports book in the state of Florida, the only place you could play to bet Super Bowl and every other game and every other day and every other match and golf tournament, I believe run is like minus 135. It's a slight advantage on run. So if that's more statistically likely, I'm not going to go hunch. I'm going to go on what built the casinos in the city of Sin regardless. And that is the hard math. Give me run.
We are on the opposite sides of all three so far.
Can't wait.
Which team will score first? Chiefs or the 49ers?
The slight advantage goes to the Niners, believe it or not. But I don't like that. I think the Chiefs start fast. And if it's a case of early possessions and who you trust more, I trust Patrick Mahomes more than I do Brock Purdy with 200 million people watching. Give me the Chiefs to be the first team to score. And by the way, that's defense or special teams as well.
Yep, points on the scoreboard. Who's going to get them first? Believe it or not, we're on the opposite side again. I got the 49ers. And if you're watching on ESPN West Palm Play, these are all written down already. This is not. Just trying to be devil advocate. I've got the Niners.
Good for you. Proposition number five. Go ahead, CK. Take it.
The first turnover of the game will be fumble, interception, turnover on downs, missed field goal.
So here's the thing. This bet used to just be fumble, interception. They've now added turnover on downs and missed field goal to muck it up. to make it harder to win, to make it more difficult. Because before you had two options, now you got four. Missed field goal isn't a turnover, it's a change of possession. Turnover on downs isn't a turnover, even though its name is. It's also a change of possession. The first turnover of the game will be an interception. Patrick Mahomes has gone, what, six consecutive playoff games now without a pick?
That ends here?
That ends here. Brock Purdy will throw two. There's three interceptions in this game. And the first turnover of the game, perfect weather. If it's cold weather, if it's Baltimore, say fumble. You know?
Yeah.
This is in Buffalo. This is 72 degrees, perfect climate, Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, interception. What do you got?
I'm with you. I'm going to interception.
That a boy. Number six.
Which team will commit the first accepted penalty of the game? That feels like a crapshoot, no? Unless you look at the numbers, the entire season, who's the most penalized teams.
So, yes and no. Who might take an early shot and test? On offense, who might take an early shot down the field, a shock play and test?
Well, I told you I thought that'd be the 49ers.
And who, on offense, is more prone to have jitters and a formation and a motion and or false start penalty?
We've seen the Chiefs this year.
I'm thinking that Mahomes is trusted more to take an early shot downfield than Purdy is. And I'm thinking that that Chiefs line might better hold their water than the Niners. That, I mean, it sounds all week like it's a very heavy San Francisco fan base. And I think that's great for opening night and Tuesday and Wednesday NFL experience. But game day, I think that crowd is going to be still very, very Chiefs-centric. If that's the case, then by every measure I gave you, it'd be more likely to be the Niners committing the first penalty.
Right.
Be it on offense with a false start, a motion, or on defense with shock play, panic, get the PI, draw the holding, illegal contact. First penalty will be charged to the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm with you. It's not on this sheet, but I also want to make a note. I don't think there's going to be much pass interference called in this game whatsoever. The refs do not want to be the ones that make a call that affects this game negatively.
Well, who's the official on this game? I forget. I saw it last night, and he lets him play. His crew responsible for the least holds. This is a low penalty calling officiating crew. And this is a low offensive hold penalty crew.
Got it.
Which benefits the Chiefs more than the Niners.
Crew chief is Bill Vinovich.
Yep. Bill Vinovich is exactly who it is. Thank you for jogging the memory. Who you got?
First accepted penalty was Niners. And the next one is which team will get the 10 points first?
That's proposition number seven. Who gets the 10 points first? KC, the Niners, or neither? Neither's the play here.
Yeah.
Neither's the play. If you check neither, you should get like 5 points. That shouldn't be
right. Yeah.
Because what you're saying is this game, no one's, it means that the highest total in this game possible would be 17 points. A 9-8 win. Right? Because it can't be 9-9. Yeah, nine.
Right.
So if you're betting neither, you're saying the total in this game is 17 points.
And yet you still got over 10 points in the lowest scoring Super Bowl in recent memory with that Rams-Patriots one. They got over 10, and that game was pitiful to watch offensively.
That was awful. The team to get to 10 first actually is favored Niners. Niners are favored to do it, but I'm going to disagree. The Chiefs get to 10 first.
Hey, they start fast. This season, you know, the narrative with Pat Mahomes was never count him out. He's going to come back like they did 4 years ago against this very 49ers team. But this season, it's been getting the lead and hanging on for dear life because they do not score many points in the second half. Chiefs score 10 more points.
Second half, they're going to need, the Niners are, to score some points. If this postseason is any indicator, because the Chiefs in the second half have given up like nada. They gave up 3 in Baltimore last weekend.
Yeah.
Buffalo, they gave up a couple in the second half. But against Miami, nothing.
Mm-mm.
Dolphins didn't run a play inside the 40-yard line.
They turned that what looked like it could be a record-setting offense and made them look ordinary.
So you and I both have Kansas City.
Yep.
First team to 10. All right, proposition number 8.
Will either team score during the last 2 minutes of the first half?
Yes or no?
I went with yes.
Yeah, here's another example of this is for like fun, you know, and parties, because the actual price on this, will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half? It's like minus 220, yes. So if you're taking no, you're more than welcome to. But it's much more statistically likely. The probability is greater that yes, there will be than not. That's why it's priced at minus 220 or whatever it is. But yeah, it is priced as such.
It's kind of easy to envision right now a 2 minute drill by either team.
I mean, things happen, right? Things happen where, well, they took a sack and now they're out of field goal range, but perfect weather, climate controlled, indoor stadium, you're more likely to get a score in the final 2 minutes of the half than you are in the game, and you are more likely to get one than not. All right, number 9.
What song, now we got the halftime, what song we performed first at the halftime show?
Options are,
you have Yeah,
DJ. How's that go?
Yeah. I'm in the club with my homies, trying to get a little VI, down on low key. Cause you know how it feels, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Or DJ got us falling in love.
You make me wanna.
Man.
You make me wanna.
I
the one I'm with.
I think I just know it as, oh my God. I think that's the same song.
So what did I say a little earlier might be the one?
You said they're not going to start with Yeah.
Correct.
It's going to pop the crowd too much too early. I forgot which one you said. I think you wanted Oh My God.
DJ Guys Falling in Love is one that would fit too, though.
Yeah, both so recognizable. You know the song. I'm very adamant with you. Yeah feels like the song that after a slow song, maybe all the dancers slow down, be quiet, lights go down.
That comes later on.
Boom, you hit it with the beat. And yeah.
Yeah, because that one you got to incorporate Ludacris and Lil Jon. And you're not going to open with those guys right there.
Exactly.
Ah, so we figured that out.
So it's definitely not Yeah.
I got You Make Me Wanna. Oh my God. What do you got?
I went DJ Got Us Falling in Love.
That's right.
What I went there.
Number 10, as we round out the first half, the propositions.
Will anybody accompany Usher on stage to perform a song with
him? Yes.
That's easy money. You got it. Nowadays,
Not everybody's done it.
I'm saying every halftime show has to try to outdo the one before it. And
did Beyonce have special guests?
Forget.
Did Rihanna have special guests? I don't think Rihanna did.
I'm not a big Rihanna fan. That was my favorite halftime show. Behind Bruno Mars. I love that show.
Have you never seen Prince here in Miami Gardens at Hard Rock Stadium?
I mean, didn't watch it live.
You probably should, yeah. Because that was remarkable.
In the moment, rewatching them doesn't give you the same jazz as watching it live.
The answer is yes. If somebody wants to bet you this question, will anyone accompany Usher on stage?
Too easy.
And they want to say no, give them 2-1 odds on no.
Yeah.
Give them 5-1 odds on no.
It's a power trip and ego problem that Usher does not allow somebody else on stage with him.
Well, no, but like, Ludacris has to. Lil Jon has to. And aren't they already confirmed? Weren't they already confirmed to be,
I don't know,
participating in the halftime show? I'm pretty sure they were. Which means that, yes, that'll be the case.
A little over half, but it finishes off the halftime props. How many songs play during the halftime show? 8.5 is the number. Over or under 8.5 songs.
Well, you've crossed the halftime threshold because there are 20, and I just said that finishes up the first half of these.
Yeah, but if we started the next half with this, you know, I want to wrap up the halftime questions.
Nope, we'll pick it up from there because that's half and half is half. Michael Lombardi, we hope to hear from you. If not, we roll on through the program. I don't believe we're going to get a chance to talk to Kevin Harlan after all. And I'm glad that, you know, we had guests in the early hours, but late when you need it, late when you're struggling, late when you need, you know, a little bit of help. Now we don't have any guests.
You got a boo-boo in your mouth. We need help here.
A boob? I'm sorry. Run that by me again.
You've got a boo-boo.
How would you like a boo-boo in your mouth? How long is this break?
We've got glass between us. I'm going to lock the door. I have an intern to back me up. 2-1.
Did you?
What did Joe Montana say earlier?
About?
Used a piece of equipment on the sideline that he really probably shouldn't have in that way.
You mean the phone you're supposed to call up to the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that's a work phone.
Yeah. We're going to find out. We'll come back and find that out. Quick reminder, however, our coverage on this Super Friday rolls on and is brought to you in part by the Miami Open. That's right. Miami Open starts on St. Patrick's Day. How awesome is that? Miami Open returns to Hard Rock Stadium for another year of All-Star Tennis, March 17th through the 31st, St. Patrick's Day through, where tennis comes to play. 15 days and nights of tennis with top players from all around the world. Defending champion Daniil Medvedev and Petra Kvitova, they will defend their titles. Former champion Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, and many, many more. Stadium court for the Miami Open is featured right in the center of Hard Rock Stadium, which is the coolest setting. All tickets include access to the tennis campus, filled with additional tennis courts, food, drink, art, and live entertainment. Returning restaurant favorites include Kiki on the River, Bodega, American Social, and many more. Newly added restaurants for this season: Milos, Fuku, Julia, and Henry's, and more. By the way, brand new champagne garden, lots of beer, lots of wine, specialty bars with signature Miami Open cocktails. That's all happening. For the first time ever, Miami Open also features an elite wheelchair tournament. Those people are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the wheelchair tennis?
Not in person. I've seen a lot on YouTube.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable athletes. Unbelievable dexterity. Redonkulous. Plus major league pickleball. General, club, and luxury seating is still available, but is limited. Go to MiamiOpen.com for tickets and information. MiamiOpen.com for more information. We are live on ESPN 106.3. On the ESPN app, under live stations, West Palm, tell any connected device otherwise. You know, you got smart speakers, tell it. Play ESPN West Palm. And of course, today, we've launched officially in live real time, I guess, from the studio, our ESPN West Palm play feed. So you can watch along and see at the very bottom of the screen, or at least you used to. Now it's a one shot of me. If you go back to the wide shot, I can tell you what it says with the other windows. C-Cat's in one window, I'm in another window. And then you've got the logo with the station. We'll punch up that graphic. Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Miami Open. Celsius. The Crypto.com. Formula One. Miami Grand Prix. Hard Rock Bet, by the way, which we're going to get a little further into here in just a moment. And Twin Peaks.
Scavengers here ate all the Twin Peaks earlier today. I didn't get a bite. Actually, no. I did get a bite.
That's too bad, because I've got some leftovers of the Twin Peaks.
Oh, nice.
And also, I just grabbed some leftovers of the Bud's Chicken and Seafood, because it would be a Bud's Chicken and Seafood fried day today.
Yum, yum.
That's exactly right. It is Super Friday. We're back in moments here on ESPN 106.3.
It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
As we are past halfway in our sixth hour on this special coverage live from our Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square studios, as we send it back to Vegas in just a moment to check in with a man who knows exactly what and how the people are betting this game, including what we call a hashtag major wager alert.
Whoa.
And there's been several of those. You may be surprised at which side they are on. Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida. This is Florida's only sports book, the only place you can legally bet on sports in the state of Florida. You can bet the teams. You can bet the totals. You can bet the props. You can bet parlays and teasers. You can bet reverses. You can bet live in-game betting. And we're talking about football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, UFC, boxing, MMA, golf and tennis, and everything else in between. To get started, download the Hard Rock Bet app on the App Store or Google Play Store, or just go online at hardrock.bet. Hard Rock Bet is clean, straightforward, easy to use. The app is simple enough for a first-time player, but has the features that experienced players like myself would expect in demand. Plus, when you sign up, you're going to get a no-regret first bet up to $100. And what that means is you can use your no-regret first bet on parlays, props, over, under, and more. Any games you choose. Here's how it works. If your first bet that you make doesn't win, you get up to $100 back to try again. So whatever you bet, your first bet, if it doesn't win, you get that exact same amount right back to you, paid as a bonus bet. Hard Rock Bet is the only way to play not just this game, but every game, every day and night in the state of Florida. Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. And as we speak about sports betting and gaming and gambling, we send it back out to Las Vegas to someone who most of you know on Twitter because of his time with ESPN and VSIN Live as well, and that's Ben Faulks, who's nice enough to take time on this Super Friday. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It's a busy Friday. We're getting close. We're finally getting close. Seems like it's been a long time coming for this game.
Indeed it has. Now, as you are there and you are aware, it seemed like early in the week there was a very heavy and loud Niners presence. I know this has nothing to do with betting the game itself, but as we got progressively later into the week, and I'm guessing by tonight and tomorrow, have the Kansas City faithful, have they shown up? Have they represented, or is it still skewed more so in people that are there on behalf of Niner Nation, Niner Gang?
I think it's, I mean, it's close. It is, both are certainly coming out in full force. I think there'll be more probably over the weekend coming down, because it's so, you know, it's a drive or a short flight from California. Right. One bookmaker said the California invasion coming down. So I think slightly more Chiefs fans that I've seen, but it's going to be absolutely massive here at every single sports book. And up and down the strip, you just see Chiefs jerseys, 49ers jerseys all over.
All right, Ben. So I've been following you on Twitter for quite some time now, and I've been following you very closely this week. We are seeing significant hashtag major wager plays. And this is one that you posted just an hour ago. Jimmy Vaccaro at South Point showed you a ticket. We've got another major wager, and it seems like all of these big, big tickets are on the 49ers, just based on your Twitter feed alone. What are you hearing? What are you seeing aside from the $1 million, the $500,000, the $500,000, the $400,000? What is going on here?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I'm actually just about to tweet out another one live on the air here. Another massive bet on the Niners. This one actually on the spread. 668,181. Not sure where that number came from. On the Niners -2. We've seen the big bets. We've only had one $1 million bet, seven-figure wager so far, and that was on the Niners money line. And that actually came last week. We've seen several $500,000 bets on the 49ers money line as well. The big money is on the Niners, and the public is all over the Chiefs. It's a very interesting dynamic that we haven't really seen before. Usually it balances out a little bit, but we haven't really seen it so far. All of the bets I've seen, and a couple of sports books don't like to disclose the actual numbers, so they've said six-figure wagers, but those have all been on the Niners. Some of them haven't taken any on the Chiefs yet.
So let's explain this to the people who may be new or not understand it. There's a difference between the percentage of tickets. That means people that got a bet, no matter what the denomination is, okay? That's one of the factors. The other is the amount of money that's being bet. So say there's $1 million that's being bet at one sports book, okay, on this game. 85% of it can be on the Niners. Yet, when it comes to the ticket count, the percentage of tickets that were written, say 2,000 tickets were written, 1,900 of those tickets could have been on the Kansas City Chiefs. What we're seeing here is a classic, it seems like, pro versus Joe, but how do we know if that's pro money, if that's sharp money on these big plays, or is it a case of be careful to believe that, because when it comes to Super Bowl, there are a lot of wealthy or rich with disposable income people who are not sharps. What do we make of that disparity, Ben?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say that given a very respected handicapping service, earlier in the week gave out 49ers money line, I think there is a combination of you're going to have some people who are respected who like the Chiefs at +2, +2.5, and I think you're going to have some respected people who took the Niners -1. And moving on up a little bit and took the Niners money line. So I think there is respected money on both sides. I think more respected bettors are probably on the Niners, at least that I've spoken with. I certainly am not speaking with all of the bettors out there. But I think it's such a small spread, right, that it's unlike another game where you're very clearly going to have, you know, the public or the wise guys are all over this team at +3.5, and right, the line moves to +3. And there's a massive difference between those things. All of this is under a field goal, and I don't think the line's going to go to Niners -3, and I don't think the line's going to get down to pick them. So I think it kind of is going to be in this little channel between 49ers -2, 2.5, and 1.5, and it's just going to be which side of that do you like.
Yeah, we haven't seen much movement. We haven't seen much movement, and some believe that as we got to game time, it may actually cross 0 and become a Chiefs -1 type play. Now, Ben Falk, you're saying you don't have any reason to believe that this line is crossing 0 and heading into Chief favorite territory, right?
I don't think so. It opened last Sunday night at, it did open 49ers -3, I think, at one point,
right, yeah,
very briefly, at, you know, -2.5 and others, and obviously came down. But the point of resistance, the point where respected money and big bets came in, was at 49ers -1. And so I think bookmakers know if they want 49ers money, and they're already getting it at these numbers as well, but if they really want it, they can go down to 1. They don't need to necessarily go to pick them. And so I think that's probably the point of resistance.
Ben Falk joining us live on Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. We are live worldwide on the ESPN app. We're also live worldwide on all smart speakers by saying play ESPN West Palm. And on YouTube, we are live worldwide on the ESPN West Palm Play channel. You can follow Ben on Twitter, the letter B, Fox, F-A-W-K-E-S 22. That's letter B, F-A-W-K-E-S 22. I creep you on Sundays throughout the regular season. I creep you on big national games to pay attention to where the money's coming, how the money is split, how the ticket counts are split. Because sometimes I feel as though when some people are putting major money on a significant side, it can affect my judgment. They're that confident. But when you got a line like -2, I would imagine most of these folks are just going to take money line because, well, it's not worth it to push on 2 or get beat on 1 because the difference between 110 and 130 when you're talking big money is, for them, negotiable, right?
100%. And I think at that point, right, you want to – the easiest bet in some ways is the money line because it's most tied to the incentive of the team.
Right.
They don't care how much they win by. They want to win the game. It's the Super Bowl. They right, could win by 1 or 50. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care about covering the spread. So that's the benefit, certainly, of the money line. And I think we've seen, too, with the NFL now and teams down 14, right, going for – score a touchdown, going for 2. All of a sudden, these numbers like 6 and 8, 2 and 4, numbers that weren't really key numbers, still aren't as important as 3, 7, 10, some of the classic key numbers.
Right.
But more games are landing on those. It's not something you want to mess around with, especially if you're betting 6, 7 figures on the game.
I got a scenario for you. You ready, Ben? Here it is. Sunday, there's 8 seconds left on the clock. The Niners lead 24-21. It's fourth down now with 8 seconds left. They're at their own 22-yard line. There's not short enough clock to take a step back and throw it. And there's not too much time. You got to kick the ball away. Up 3, punter takes a snap, runs around, runs around, runs around, runs it back in the end zone, waits, steps out of bounds as the clock says 0. Niners win by 1, and those people that bet them -2, now they're screwed, and Chiefs bettors are exuberant. Can you see that happening?
Look, anything's possible.
Because I got.
I think it'd be one of the greatest.
I got 5,001 odds. I got 5,001 odds on that exact scenario. This ball has to be snapped at 8 seconds, and the score has to be 24-21 at the time. And if that happens, I get 5,001 odds, Ben. And I'd be a very wealthy man. Like Kevin Malone. If who wins an Oscar?
I forget.
Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, there we
go. Be better. C-Cat with a quick question for Ben Falk.
Yeah, this is going to be the most bet Super Bowl of all time just because of how many more states are legal this year than last year, like here in Florida. How does that impact the market in general from your point of view?
Oh, lots of square money, right?
Yeah, so the Super Bowl, it's a great question. The Super Bowl is kind of the one game or one of the very few where public money does factor in terms of moving the line, just because it's so overwhelming, right? It's very odd to think about, but a $500,000 wager is just not that much money when you consider all the different sports books, 38 states now that we have legal. And, you know, Eilers and Krejcik, they reported or they did a survey, they're expecting $1.25 billion to be wagered across the U.S. in legal markets on the Super Bowl. So when you have $1.25 billion, $500,000 isn't very much. And so, yeah, it could potentially move some lines a bit, especially in the prop market. That's really where you can see, and that's why people say if you really like unders, you probably want to wait until later in the week. The public money will push some of those up, you know, Travis Kelce receiving yards, Isaiah Pacheco rushing yards, things like that.
Exactly. Ben, I notice on your Twitter feed again, you reported that a very popular play for first touchdown is Travis Kelce. That has to be in due part, in some part, to the Taylor Swift effect, no?
For sure. Look, just about every bookmaker I've spoken with this week, to a T, has said the better game that Travis Kelce has, the worse game it's going to be for the sports books. And if he wins MVP, it's really, really going to be an issue. He just obviously has, and it's actually interesting, it's kind of a tight end Super Bowl too with Kittle, both very popular, very good players. But Travis Kelce all over the place, over receiving yards, anytime touchdown, first touchdown. If any of those happen, it will not be good for the sports books. MVP is really the one to watch, though.
There's exposure with, I would imagine, with Travis Kelce because of the Taylor Swift effect. And there could be a lot of non-football fans that make a few bucks that signed up to be part of the game as a result. And as a result, the sports books are wishing Taylor Swift never dated Travis Kelce. That could happen. Ben Fox, we appreciate the time. Keep up the great work. You're a great follow on Twitter. We appreciate you joining us. And make a little money on Sunday, my friend.
That's the hope, guys. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for joining us. Again, follow him on Twitter. He's got the insight. He's the guy out there in Vegas that reports on letter B, F-A-W-K-E-S, 2-2. And I see you're following him right now on Twitter.
Yeah, man. I need information. That's what I need.
I got some information from our friends at Hard Rock Bet. According to Hard Rock Bet, I got a little insight here.
All right.
78% of the bets, 73% of the money are on the Kansas City Chiefs so far. 73% of the bets on the spread, 83% of the money on the spread on the Kansas City Chiefs right now. 73% of the bets, 74% of the money so far on the over currently on Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock Bet, which you can download, as you know, right now in Florida and bet all the props and play everything you want to do for free. Keep in mind, though, wagers like coin toss and Gatorade color are not permitted in Florida, but there is a bunch of props, billions. In fact, it looks like, I know that's not the case, but I'm looking at a list of like 150 plus props you can wager on Hard Rock Bet. We would normally play the 2-minute warning this time of day, this is not the home team. So what's that?
We need your pick.
Oh yeah. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I've changed my mind. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just a Mahomes, Purdy, if the game is tight like this, I'm sorry, Mahomes finds ways. How about you?
I'm with you. You know what? All season long, it's fade the public, this, that. I'm preaching that. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, I'm just going to go with the public here. I don't know.
Thank you to our partners. We're going to be back. By the way, enjoy the game here on ESPN 106.3 Sunday. We'll see you Monday at 4 on the home team. Bye, everybody.